Welcome to Manager Tools. The Purpose of Feedback, Part 3. This cast answers these questions. What is the purpose of feedback? Why should I give more feedback? Why is negative feedback so flipping hard? Well, if you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening. Here we go.
On March 13th, Mark Horstman, co-founder of Manager Tools, will speak to our Executive Tools group about how the world has changed for executives. If you'd like an invite, become an Executive Tools licensee. Visit us online today at manager-tools.com/executive.
Okay, now we get to always my favorite thing when we start talking about behavior, because when you consulted for me some,
oh yeah,
I don't know, long time, 40,
30 years
30
ago.
Years ago, something, this was the one thing that I walked away and said, oh my God, this is total gold.
Yeah.
I never looked at people the same way.
Neither
ever
did again. I mean, we've said this before, maybe in this cast, in the last episode of this cast, but I didn't know it either. When I started Horstman & Company, I went out and got corporate clients to hire my firm to teach their managers how to do things. And we didn't know what to teach those managers until we started gathering large data sets about what worked and what didn't work. And we tried to talk about motivation and influence and attitude and thought process.
Being inspirational.
Yeah, inspirational. And I'll tell you a good example, something to keep in mind about inspirational. There are probably half the people in the world, and I would argue at least that higher percentage among managers, certainly among lower level managers, that don't think they're an inspirational person. They think they're competent. They think they're good in their skills, whatever their skills were, whether they're a software developer or a production worker or an operations person or a finance person or accounting person. They feel good about their tactical professional skills in the job. But they think inspiration is something other people do. Ooh, look at that politician. Look at that CEO. Look how inspiring they are, how they use big words about how we should feel emotionally about our work. And if you think that management is about inspiration, one of the problems with that, folks, is it eliminates a huge portion of the population, the professional population, that might actually be a great manager, because inspiration doesn't even rank in the top 15 behaviors that we've measured that managers engage in. In fact, inspiration isn't a behavior, of course, at all.
Oops, gonna have to talk to Mark afterwards. That's not a behavior, dude.
Yeah.
I just say one thing about inspirational. If you had a boss that routinely talked to you in quick, short, encouraging 10-second instances and told you what you're doing great at and what didn't go well and encouraged you to do better in the future, that might be considered inspirational.
Inspirational.
Just
exactly. Yeah. Rather than thinking, who do I need to be inspirational? Let's focus on the goals and objectives of the organization, building a trusting relationship with people and treating them as if I love you, I respect you, I care for you, and I'm obligated to show you where you're going relative to the goals we've set and how this behavior may be a little offline and I need you to bring it more back in line, or that behavior really was well aligned and I'd like more of that in the future, please.
Yeah.
People, when they start getting it, they eat it up. I can't tell you. I mean, for those of you who don't know, Mike and I were doing very well. We both essentially retired before we started Manager Tools. And the number of managers who have written to us, and by the way, we would have made a lot more money if we'd have chosen to do something else. Mike could have become CIO of a multi-billion dollar corporation. I could have continued to grow my first company even bigger, although I was very tired when I sold it. And the number of people who have written to us over the years, both managers and directs, saying, first of all, one-on-ones changed my life. And the second thing they tell us is, I am so excited to work for a manager who builds trust with me. And then she shows me enough love, respect, care, human kindness to be willing to hold me accountable when I'm not in alignment with goals in a compassionate way, or tells me that I am in line, encourages me to do more of the same. It completely changed my life. My boss is no longer trying to get into my head. he or she simply talks to me about my behavior, which I know is the engine. Most of us know that that's the engine of all systemic organizational success. It's not systems, it's not processes, it's not machines, it's not code, it's not products, it's not margins, it's not profit. It is human behavior. The number of people who've written, many more managers, because we have managers listening to us, but thousands of directs have said, I want to work for another manager tools manager because, in part, when he talks to me about my performance, he talks to me in a compassionate, respectful way. He's not afraid to hold me accountable when I've missed. He asks me to do better. And he also points out frequently that I did the right thing. I engaged in the most effective behavior.
Right. So let's talk about behavior. We've talked a lot about behavior.
It's right.
Terribly important because we're giving feedback about behavior and nothing else. Go on. Tell me about behavior.
Not motivations, not emotions, not triggers, not psychology, not intuition. The company doesn't pay for any of those things. It only pays for behavior. Okay. Here's an example. Suppose your company had a great idea for a new product. Everyone agrees. It's wonderful. Might even change the marketplace. Well, since there are all kinds of people who are always saying that it's ideas that power companies, I mean, look at ads in business media if you doubt that. It's always about ideas and so on. The company should be going great. We've got a great idea for a product. But if all your company has is an idea for a product, but not the product, and the difference between the idea and the product is behavior, people have to do things to actually create the product, you won't sell that product. It's actually not a product. It's just an idea. Okay? Somebody has to make it. Somebody has to advertise it. Somebody has to sell it. Somebody has to collect the money. These aren't just ideas. These are things that people have to do, behaviors that human beings have to engage in. Look, suppose somebody told you that one of their friends who was looking for a job was the most motivated person they'd ever met. No question, that sounds great. But all the motivation in the world won't help you fill a role that requires, say, computational fluid dynamics or bridge building skills. If you've never done those things before, if you cannot behave in a way that uses CFD, computational fluid dynamics, or bridge building skills. When you think skills, folks, think behaviors. If you have a skill that you say, I have this skill, but you can't actually behave with that skill, do a thing, manipulate a thing, change a thing, build a thing, modify a thing, then that skill is really not a skill. The idea for it is good. I'm motivated to try. But if you're motivated to try and you try 1,000 times and you cannot do the skill, that's not something organizations will pay for. Now, look, we're not saying that you shouldn't have ideas. But there's a difference between ideas and motivation and the actual behaviors that make a difference in the world. And remember, your organization exists to serve society. It doesn't exist to make profit. We need profit to invest in the future. But what it exists to do is serve society. And society expects a fair exchange of goods and services, goods or services, for the money they're going to spend with you. Our professional work is not just about ideas, motivations, emotions, and reasons. It's about what we do. It's about our behaviors. And I agree with you, Mike. I was lucky 30 years ago to stumble upon the concept of it's all about behavior. And I don't want to be too cynical, but take the ideas canard further. You know how you know the organization runs on behaviors and not about all the other things that everybody's always talking about? Because nobody's talking about behaviors. And why is that? Because behaviors are hard work. You have to align them to your goals and pay attention to whether or not you get to the goals. And if you don't get to your goals, you have to be willing to change them. And if you've fallen in love with your set of behaviors, but you're not willing to change them when those behaviors are ineffective, if everybody in the organization does that, the organization is going to fail. It's the same thing with intent and attitude. But you know, most managers know that they're only really guessing about people's intents and attitudes. Motivation is the same way. Easy enough to talk about. Certainly when you're gauging someone else's motivation or expecting someone else to get motivated. But what's funny about the motivation trap particularly is that all psychologists, therapists, counselors, you name it, people who try to help people on an individual basis say the same thing. You can't motivate anybody. All motivation is self-motivation. And you won't get very far telling your people they're not motivated. Everyone believes they're motivated. One of the most corrosive things ever to harm management's ability, manager's ability to give feedback is the idea that we're supposed to observe behavior and then be clever enough to swim upstream to the direct feelings and emotions, motivations, and then finding those rational and emotional levers, tell the direct how to change those things in their head or in their heart or in their mind so they never make the same mistake again. Many managers, largely because of their fear of giving negative feedback, think this idea of swimming upstream to motivations and intents and attitudes is the silver bullet of management. And for the record, it's not one-on-ones. If you're looking for a silver bullet, folks, it's one-on-ones. If you don't know what we're saying when we say one-on-ones, go back and listen to our podcast about how to do one-on-ones. I think we have over 75, but there are a core of a few, two or three or four that you can listen to and start implementing one-on-ones on your own. Or, of course, you can come to our effective management conferences and learn how to do it. Right? People think, well, just understand everybody's psychology and you can flip their switches. By the way, people don't like their switches being flipped. They don't like someone else thinking that they can flip their switches. But look, we already have an entire podcast about it, multiple parter called You're Not a Psychologist. Why? Because you're not. Even if you got a degree in psychology, you're still not a psychologist. And even if you were, it wouldn't do you much good as a manager. Nothing against those of you who have that degree, and I encourage you to apply that degree, but apply it around behavior and not about intents or attitudes or motivation or, as Mike talked about, inspiration. I'll tell you something else. Behaviors are observable. We give feedback only about behaviors because behaviors can't be faked. Either you did a thing or you didn't. If you hear that, and you're worried a little bit, oh, I don't know, what about perceptions or intent or interpretation? Remember, those things aren't behavior. Behavior is only five things. The words you say, how you say them, your facial expressions, your body language, and then the one that everybody forgets, work product, okay? Work product is the quantity, quality, accuracy, timeliness, documentation, and safety of the work that you do. That's it. QQATDS, quality, quantity, accuracy, timeliness, documentation, and safety is really the sixth one. And many people, they don't come in much contact with safety unless you're in a production organization. This means, and this should resonate for those of you who are listening earlier when we talked about swimming upstream and intent and so on, it doesn't matter what a direct meant to do because intent isn't behavior. Too many managers, in our experience, before they come to us, have given up on giving negative feedback because when they try to talk about intent, what's in the direct's mind, the direct argues about it because they know you don't know what their intent was.
Oh, it happens all the time. I told a story before, 20 years ago maybe, about a direct who had an IT, large IT organization. This person manages a significant chunk of that. And the client was marketing, right? Marketing in a big telecommunications company. And he wasn't known as a particularly friendly person.
Right.
And before you had consulted, I was kept on telling, hey, look, dude, you have to be more friendly. You have to build relationships. You have to do whatever. didn't go well. And then when you turn the light bulb on, my next conversation with him is, because he said he was friendly, right? To be clear, he thought of himself as a friendly person. Inside, his intent was friendly. Except when he went to the meeting, he'd be the first to arrive because he's a high C. He'd so show up, pull up his laptop, start working. And as the customers are walking in, he'd sit there working until the meeting started. And so we turn this in behavior. I say, dude, seriously, don't turn your laptop on. When people walk in the room, stand up, walk over to them, reach out your hand, shake their hand, say welcome or great to see you, call them by their first name, right? All those things are behavior.
And if you don't know their first name, ask.
Exactly. And then all of a sudden, the light bulb went, and he's like, guy's a really smart guy. He figured it out and said, oh, Yeah. And everybody who's listening or watching us right now would say, yeah, if I saw somebody to, oh, smile. That was, I forgot about smile.
Yeah.
And smile. Anybody who is watching that movie of that meeting, they go, yeah, that person, he gets up, he shakes her hand, he smiles, he calls him by their first name.
Right.
They'd say, oh, he's a friendly person. Same guy from 15 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Behavior, dudes.
Yeah. And, you know, people are like, well, I'm not a smiling person. Okay. Well, let's be clear. Smiling is a behavior, right? It's a facial expression. And the question is your behavior in alignment with organizational goals? One of the goals that organizations have is their people work well together. As an individual contributor, you would be responsible not only for your results, but also for your relationships. So if you want to improve your relationships, there are behaviors you can engage in that will do so, one of which is smiling. And again, they say, well, I'm not much of a smiling person. Well, that's fine. But there are all kinds of things that my natural tendency is that are not effective for me as a manager or a leader. A lot of people say I'm very intense. Those of you who've been listening for a long time know that there was a famous character, which is he's largely been banished from the podcast, called Dark Mark. Where on the podcast, I take a 5-minute rant and say, this is what's so wrong with what's happening in day-to-day life in organizations. And every once in a while, I say, yeah, I'm going to get rid of Dark Mark. And I get 100 emails saying, please don't. I need to hear that. But my natural tendency is not naturally to be a great manager. When I first started learning how to manage people, and I would say I did it poorly in the beginning of my military career, I got better at Procter & Gamble. But I thought the job was to know what was supposed to be done and then tell people when they didn't do it. And that didn't work. And I've told people many times, manager tools does not teach what I do. I do what we teach. And the reason why is those behaviors that we teach make me a more effective manager. And people seem to forget that because so much of other management is some CEO who wrote a book saying, this is what I did and you should do it. Well, not necessarily in many cases because the vast majority of us won't become a CEO. Something else about behavior. Behavior being observable means that you're not having to interpret and therefore potentially being wrong. You're not having to guess or inferring from what they did to what they thought or felt or intended. This makes feedback about behavior, those five things, inarguable. Either they were late or they weren't. Either they're ahead of schedule or they're not. Either they interrupted someone in a meeting, which can be corrosive, or they didn't. You'll find that when you start giving feedback about behaviors, your directs will actually want to switch the conversation to what they meant when it's negative feedback. But you can tell them, that's okay. I understand. I know you always mean well. Heaven forbid you start not meaning well, then your behaviors are going to change notably and you won't last very long around here. But you can tell them intent is not what's important for the organization. It's behavior, because aggregated behavior leads to results. Aggregated effective behavior leads to results. Now, look, this doesn't mean you can't keep somebody in a role if their behavior isn't up to par, but they had a great attitude and they kept trying. You can do that. A little bit more understanding is good for the world, but you also have to be honest with them, compassionate accountability, that they can't continue to miss the mark and stick around. I love you. I want you to be successful. And to be successful, you have to be successful within the context of the goals that our part of the organization has, and you're out of alignment. And I encourage you to try to get in alignment with the goals.
Attention all managers. A bedrock to all the nice and trendy words in your organization's culture statement must be results and retention. How do you do that? Relationships, performance communication, employee growth, and organizational effectiveness. Let us bring our effective manager training to your organization so all the managers there can learn our models and then practice them so they're armed to succeed. Our organizational effective manager training comes with annual licensing, including multiple benefits for sustained learning and application of the training. Contact Maggie by emailing her at customerservice@manager-tools.com for more information.
Here's my favorite part of all this. And I have been talking about this for years, and I get emails about it all the time. My favorite part about behavior is that it's available to everyone. Behavior doesn't pick a race or a color or a creed or a gender or a height or a weight or an educational background or an economic situation. All work behaviors are available to everyone all the time. We say work behaviors because there are some limitations. A four-year-old probably can't dunk a basketball, right? But when it comes to professional life, virtually all human beings are capable of learning and changing and growing their behaviors. But their manager has to know what behaviors to ask for, the ones that align with organizational goals, and you have to be willing to hold them accountable for them with both positive and negative feedback. Now, some people say, wait, accountability is just for negative. No, it's not. When you give people positive feedback, you're holding them accountable and encouraging them to do more of the same. That's accountability too. And why is behavior's universal availability such a natural good, an ethical moral good? Because that expands our recruitable talent. The pool gets bigger when you start seeing people as behavior. Right, as essentially capable of behavior. It makes possible for everyone the opportunity to succeed. And successful people serving society is what managers are tasked to achieve.
Absolutely. And hey, folks, if you're listening to this and you're a relatively new manager and you feel a little out of water, a little bit, effective management is all about behaviors. And yeah, like Mark said, anybody can do it. You can be in the top 2% of managers in your company by simply engaging in effective behaviors. When you think of that, it's like, oh, geez, I can do just about anything.
That's right. Yeah, you can. You really can. Isn't the world a wonderful place? And I say that periodically in podcasts, and I get emails saying, well, you know, this is going on in the world, and this is going on in the world. Remember something, folks. The world has gotten better every second of its existence. Now, the media will show you all the things that are wrong, but there's an old saying that they don't write news stories about planes that take off and land safely and on time. They only talk about the crashes and the near misses and so on. The news is always about conflict. And because news is so pervasive today, thanks in part to social media, not that that's news, and modern media and TV and the internet and so on, you're getting more and more and more negativity when in fact, the world for the last thousands of years has grown richer, stronger, taller, faster, safer, healthier, longer lived. And it will continue to be so as long as managers ethically recognize my job is to help these people align to serve this organization, which serves society, and it's my job to encourage them to do effective behavior in the future, either more of the same or something different.
There you go.
Okay, summarizing. Again, the purpose of feedback for like the 50th time, encourage effective future behavior. We don't say should much at Manager Tools. It feels sometimes a little moralistic, but you can and should, as a human being, encourage others, even with negative feedback. And yes, you can. You can and should, not just because it's part of your job, because it's the right thing to do, focus on what is effective and not what people like or prefer or are comfortable with. You represent the company to your directs. You can and should forget about past behavior and focus on what you want in the future, which is the only thing a performance conversation can affect, as we mentioned a bit ago. And you can and should talk about behavior because that's what runs your organization. It's inarguable and it's available to all of us every day.
Well said. All right, my friend. Loved it.
Well, always fun. You know, it's been 20 years we've been doing this. This year, this is coming out in 2025. In fact, Mike, I'm pretty sure that right around this time in January of 2005, We recorded that first podcast. So it's been 20 years since we've been doing this. The first official Manager Tools podcast, which you actually just alluded to, Solution to a Stalled Technical Career, came out in June because it took us a while to get all of our ducks in a row. And it amazes me that it took us this long to put this together all in one cast. But part of that is a function of the fact that I only have about 2,500 more casts to write. And now that I've been retired for 2.5 years, I should get busy on writing them all so I can get them all down. But I will tell you, when I learned this about feedback and I learned what the true purpose of it was, everything became much simpler. And in fact, sounds selfish, but I'll say it, I became a better person. I stopped punishing people. I started encouraging people. And the fact is, in the world today, as good as it is and as better as it's getting, who wouldn't want more encouragement?
Yeah, it's kind of a competitive advantage, right? If you have people, great people, who want to work for you because you're an effective manager, there's nothing you can't do. It's all about the people you attract. So be that
person.
All right.
Thanks, partner.
See you later. Bye.